Good morning, and it is good to be with you. It's good to see that neither one of us ran away. You never know what you're going to get, do you, on every Sunday? Please stand for the reading of Scripture. Our scriptural focus this morning comes from Paul's letter to the first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Here ends our reading. Let us pray. Gracious Lord God, we give you thanks and praise for this day, for the opportunity to be here, for the time to reflect upon your word, to be fed by your word through song, fellowship, worship, its reading, and its teaching. For Lord, you have called us together, you've gathered us here so that we might be enlightened and saved. Bless now our time, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I chose our scripture reading this morning because it reminds me to whom I belong. It reminds me to whom my family belongs. It reminds me to whom we, as the people of God in Christ Jesus, belong. It reminds me of whom the world belongs. In our scripture reading for today, it reminds me of God's vision for us in Christ Jesus. Yes, God has a vision for you and for me. And what does that look like? Well, it's in the first verse that we read. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For this is the will of Christ Jesus for you. God's vision. Sometimes our vision, at least I know my vision, doesn't necessarily line up with God's vision in life. And that's what this passage reminds me of, is how do I align to God and what that is like. In October 1999, the command that I was assigned to decided that it would be good for me to go get additional training. Okay, I can go along with that. They decided to send me in October of 1999 to Army Airborne School, better known as jump school, better known as how do you fall out of a perfectly good airplane. Now, that's an interesting thing to go do, to go train and be with people that are there, and that's what the picture is all about on the front of your bulletin. Because you'd think going to jump school, the most difficult thing would be doing what? Jumping, right? Well, if you look at this picture, as you can tell, let me explain it a little bit and we'll get to it, is it's static line jumping. It's not free fall, which means that the yellow cord on the back of the parachute is connected inside the aircraft. And when that runs out, the parachute pack is opened and you get good canopy, but it takes about 4 seconds once you step off the ramp. And as you can tell here, that first step is a doozy. It's one step at about 1,250 feet above the ground. So you're close, and you're in the air for only about 60 seconds to 90 seconds before you hit the ground. That first step's a doozy, but the difficult part isn't getting out of the aircraft. The difficult part is landing. Because they teach you, 80% of your time, they're teaching you how to land. The proper procedure, the proper technique, how things all fit together and all that. They teach you how to do this. We spent 2 full weeks training to land before they let us go out of an airplane. The difficulty with that is if you were to jump off the stairs, do you look to where you're going to land? Yeah, we all want to see where our feet are going to hit and what's it going to be like, right? Well, you can't do that in this type of parachuting. Because if you look to where you're going to land, you have a natural tendency with your legs to reach for the ground. Literally, you try to reach, like your arms reaching out, your legs are doing that action as you're trying to land. Now, your legs are moving, but the earth, well, it's kind of solid where you're going to hit and doesn't give. And what happens is if you move your legs and you're looking at the ground, you can injure yourself. People have torn knees, they've broken knees, they've broken feet, they've broken ankles. And in our first jump, we had a Marine who was in my unit break a clavicle. So what's the secret to it? How do you land? How do you parachute properly? You keep your eyes on the horizon. You look forward, out, and not anticipate the ground, but react to the ground. You keep your eyes on the horizon. It's like living life. We keep our eyes on the horizon, where we are at and what we are doing. And that's God's vision for us, is to keep our eyes on the horizon, to keep our eyes fixed on Christ Jesus and what he has done for us. And when we do that, what do we have? We have joy. We rejoice always. We do it by praying and by being in fellowship with one another and praying day in and day out to God. And we do it giving thanks for the many blessings we have in the world. Keep your eyes on the horizon is what God's vision is for us in Christ Jesus. We read about this throughout Scripture. Throughout Scripture, you see God's will for us and how God works for us, even through Jesus Christ, obviously. But God, throughout Scripture, shows what happens when our eyes come off the horizon. We can go back to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 2, beginning at verse 18 through chapter 3. Adam and Eve took their eyes off the horizon. What happened? They fell a little bit, huh? You mean, look at it. They had a good thing going. They didn't have to work. They didn't have to labor. Didn't have to worry about anything. Took their eyes off the horizon, and they're kicked out of the garden. But God didn't abandon them, did he? God continued, even through their labors, through the sweat of their brow, ensured that they were cared for, that they had many blessings through children, and that they had a way of life and salvation. God didn't forget them, even though they took their eyes off the horizon. We know the story of, later on in Genesis, beginning of chapter 12, of Abram being called by God. And we know the story, some of us, of God and of God's interaction with Abram and his promise to him and his wife Sarah of a child and line and lineage. And things weren't going the way that they necessarily wanted him to go, or the way Abraham thought they should go. didn't have a child, complained to God about not having a child. And what did God do? Well, through Hagar and that, we can get you some line and lineage. God's keeping his promise. But Abraham and Sarah still wanted a child of their union. And did God abandon them? No. Even in their old age, he blessed them with a child. He showed them life and blessing and salvation. God did not forget them, even though they took their eyes off the horizon. King David, probably the most famous story about King David is what? What did King David do? He kept his eyes on the horizon, but at the wrong horizon. He focused at the balcony next door. But as he's focusing at the balcony next door, he really does take his eyes off the horizon and what God had intended and all that, and had his affair with Bathsheba. And to cover it up, what's he do? To make sure that he's in the right, what's he do? He does another thing, taking his eyes off the horizon. Takes Bathsheba's husband, who's a soldier, and says, yep, time for you to go back to war. Time for you, in fact, to be at the very front. And in a very passive way, he commits murder. But still, through all of that, through even David's confession, as we read it in Psalm 51, God does not forget David. He does not forget Israel. They keep coming back and putting their eyes on the horizon, and God gives them life and blessing and salvation. So much so, through David's own DNA, the prophecies are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, God incarnate, comes to us. Keep your eyes on the horizon. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances to God. That's God's vision for us. To be a community, to be loving and uplifting with one another and showing us the way, showing us a life in the joy of living, of walking with him every minute and every day through our prayer and giving thanks for all the blessings we have received from God. You see, what happens when we take our eyes off the horizon, we forget Jesus Christ, we forget God, and what happens when we think we can go it alone? You ever have difficulties when you take your eyes off the horizon? Ever have difficulties to go, oops? Not only do I need to change my life, I might need to go confess something, make an apology to somebody. Keep our eyes on the horizon is what it's all about. Anybody ever learn how to ride a bicycle? How'd that go, learning to ride a bike? Were you one of those when you first started trying to ride the bike, always want to watch the wheel in front of you? How'd that go for steering? It doesn't work so well. You got to lift your head up. You got to look out ahead. You have to anticipate where you're going. You can steer just fine. But if you're looking at the wheel, you're going to smack into something and hit something really hard or fall. How about driving a car? You ever tried to look down? You know, you're supposed to glance, I know, periodically at the dash to know how fast you're going. But you ever have one of those incidents where you looked away and next thing you knew, the bumper of the car in front of you is closer than what you ever wanted it? Saw that last Saturday on the freeway. Car about five cars ahead of me in the other lane. I know they took their eyes off the horizon. So did the car in front of them. Because as I went by, there was radiator fluid all over the freeway and the airbag had deployed. Obviously, they took their eyes off the horizon. God's vision for us is to keep our eyes on the horizon, to keep focused on God and God's blessing, rejoicing and praying and giving thanks for the blessings that we have. In that process, we seek God's will, God's vision for us. And what does that look like? What does God's vision, we know what God's vision is in this, but what does it mean for you, where you're at, how you live, what's taking place in your life as an individual, as a family, as a community of believers here in our community. Over the next several months, as the people of God, I'm going to challenge each and every one of us to think about God's vision, not just the vision we're talking about and keeping our eyes on the horizon. That's what we do at all times. But what does that mean for us as individuals and families and as a community? What does that mean for all of us, where we are at and what we are doing? So as we enter into that, as we enter into our reflection, doesn't mean we're going to change vision statements and mission statements. It means that we're going to learn once again, because we all have to do that. I do it every day when I read scripture and pray, trying to keep my eyes on the horizon, seeking God's engagement. But what does it mean for us? What does it mean for you? God's vision in your life. Who is God calling you to be in the world? What is God calling you to do in the world? And as we look at those two questions, what are the core values that we hold together in that vision with Jesus Christ for you? As we prayerfully think about those things, do you know we have those things all around us on campus? God's vision is articulated all over. We have them here. What does the cornerstone of the church say? I know the sanctuary is built in 1923, and that's there. What does the cornerstone have written on it? Jesus Christ, chief cornerstone, right? Or words to that effect. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the horizon that we look at. Cornerstone from which we build our faith as an architectural term and builder's term, but Jesus Christ as our vision to who we are called to be and what we are called to do and what our values are in this world. And how do we show others in our community that vision of Jesus Christ? Who's all been to our new webpage? It's 1 week old. Been there? How does the webpage open? What do you see on the front page? The homepage. It's good to be together. And then you read underneath it, we are a diverse group of people who by grace are following Jesus Christ in an urban setting. We believe that education of the mind, passion of the heart, and integrity of action are intimately connected to God. Here you find an intergenerational mix of students, professionals, retirees, married, singles, and families. There is a place for you here. That's our resume. That's our curriculum vitae. That's our letter of introduction to the world. That's our vision of who we are here and now. And we need to review those things, to talk about them, to have them on our lips and in our hearts and in our minds, because that's our interpretation of how God has called us by his vision to be and to do in the world. If you explore the website a little bit more, you'll see, if you click on the About section and then go to the Who Are We, you'll read this vision statement, which includes our core values. We believe God is calling us to be a praying and worshiping community in the city, trusting in God's grace, centered on Jesus Christ and equipped by the Holy Spirit. We desire to proclaim the good news of Christ with our words and lives. In other words, who has Christ called you to be? What has Christ called you to do? And finally, we want to be a blessing to our community and the world. One summary to look about it and thinking about it is being Jesus to others. Because the world knows Christ by what? You and me. And that's how they know who Jesus is. As we journey together, as we reflect upon our vision and mission statement and how we envision who we are, as we relearn who we are, how we are affirmed in our faith of Christ Jesus, I ask you to keep your eyes on the horizon. Keep your eyes focused on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for he will show the way day in and day out. To God be the glory, now and forever. Amen. Gracious Lord God, we give you thanks and praise for this day and the opportunity to gather together. Bless all our hearts and minds here that we may be filled with your vision of who you have called us to be and what you have called us to do, that we may tell the world your story. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.